St. Red, My Aim is True by Jordan D. White. Episode 7, The Angels Want to Wear My Red Shoes.
Red believed this was actually the fanciest hotel he'd ever been to, possibly even the fanciest place in which he'd ever set foot. The room he and Argento shared was about 3 times the size of any he'd ever stayed in. Hell, the beds were almost as big as the room they'd had in Grand Rapids. Red's former apartment, now stolen by an anonymous young couple, had only been a tiny bit bigger than the bedchamber he now entered. It had 2 beds, a large TV, a matching sofa, love seat and chair, a coffee table, a rather large mini bar. Holy crap.
What? Oh, the room. Yes. This is where I usually stay when I'm in the city. We told you the job had benefits.
He ushered Father Patrick into the room. The father only had a few more bruises, but enough to keep him quiet coming up to the room. They had given him a new outfit to replace the soaking wet one he'd be wearing when tossed into the shower. Are the other rooms like this?
Quite similar, I should think.
A knock came at the door. Argento opened it to let the bellhop in with their bags. He was a boy of about 16 to 18 years, dark hair and a smallish build. Father Patrick took attention.
Thank you, young man. Just place them anywhere.
Argento shot him a dirty look.
No problem, sir.
He placed the 2 suitcases on suitcase racks he took from the closet.
It's Father, young man. I'm a man of the cloth.
Sorry, Father.
Argento pulled out his wallet.
I'll tip the young man.
I believe you've misplaced your wallet, Father.
Oh, yes. Perhaps next time, young man.
Yes, Father.
Once the boy had gone, Argento walked over to Patrick and smacked him upside the head.
Keep your mouth and your pants shut next time.
What next time? Now that we're alone, let's get him tied back up.
Oh, come on, guys. I was just having a little fun. He was cute. It's not a crime to think about it.
A moment later, Red hung the Do Not Disturb sign on the door as he slipped out of the room, figuring it best if the staff didn't come in to clean up and find a duct tape-bound priest in the bathtub. He headed down the hallway a ways to where the single bedrooms were, towards the room where Argento had given Allison. As he rounded a corner, he saw Allison's father, John, come out of the elevator.
Ding.
When he saw Red, John looked away and hurried to the door of the room designated for him and Mrs. Innes. He must have hurried over from work, Red thought, as they had asked him to, on the phone. He'd been told to tell everyone that it was a family emergency. DINR had promised to reimburse him for any loss of income, but he didn't seem entirely satisfied by that as his wife led him into their room. Red knocked on the door of room 1407.
One second.
As the door opened, Red saw her sitting across the room in a very comfortable-looking chair, much like the one back in his room. His first thought was that he was glad her room was just as nice as his own, although she looked a little less than thrilled. His second was to wonder who had opened the door if Allison was across the room. He was quickly answered by Simon's fist colliding with his jaw. Simon shook his hand off and cracked his knuckles as Red looked up at him from the floor.
Don't move a muscle, Your Holiness.
He was pointing an Uzi directly at Red's left eye.
I'm sorry, Red. I didn't know they were...
It's okay, Allison. We'll be okay. What's the matter, Simon? You miss me? Or just that sick boss of yours? Don't tell me you actually believe all of this Jesus nonsense.
How else can you explain what he did for us?
3 more figures were coming out of hiding, 2 of which Red recognized. Red quickly pegged the voice as belonging to Kimmy, the young girl who had attempted to seduce him a few days before. She was wearing tight black jeans, as were her companions, except for one, the young bellhop he had seen just a minute before, still dressed in his uniform. Rounding out the group was a boy who looked to be about 14 years old. Each was equipped with his or her own automatic weapon. These, Red assumed, must be what Father Patrick's children looked like with his glasses and their clothes on. Well, I can't exactly explain it, but how can you explain that your Christ can't even handle one blessed saint like me?
We've had enough of your lies. We know the truth. He is a forgiving Messiah still, and turned the other cheek to you, setting you free, even at his own great risk.
Oh, please. Simon quickly kicked Red in the crotch. With a high-pitched squeal, Red curled up in pain.
Want me to rub it better, like I did the other day? Did your boyfriend tell you about us, girl?
I'm not a pedophile.
Stand up, now. You too, girl.
Red struggled to stand, but was still in intense pain. Allison rose and walked to him, helping him up.
Are you going to kill us?
We'll see.
Get undressed, both of you.
I'm really not a pedophile.
Just do it. Getting pleasure is the least of your dangers you're in.
As he loosened his tie, Red noticed the goofy smile on the youngest assailant as he watched Allison disrobe. How'd you find us so fast? Patrick only called you an hour or so ago.
We've been tracking you since you took him, fool. This is a homing beacon in the van, of course. He only called to give specific orders to call in his righteous angels, and lo, they did come. You have called down the wrath of our Savior, and now these three shall descend upon all that oppose us and wreak his mighty vengeance.
Hold on. I'm confused. Are you saying these three kids are the righteous angels? Kimmy was sitting on the bed, picking at her nail polish. The youngest one was trying to suppress his giggles at the sight of Allison's bra. The bellhop was covering Allison with his gun.
Don't look so shocked. Our Savior has chosen us. We are his favored among the flock. He saved us from the sickness and death the world brought upon us and has shepherded us into this new life of serving him only. He has taught us of many things, of life, of death.
Of hideous underage butt piracy as well, I'm sure. You're kids. You shouldn't be put through these things. Red was now wearing nothing but his underwear.
Don't kid yourself, Your Holiness. We love it. All of the things I never experienced before I met him. Things I never would have if not for him. I had never been able to walk, never went outside without supervision, never went swimming, never had my communion, never had sex, never taken a life, never felt a heretic's blood on my bare skin. I was missing so much of what makes life worth living.
Where are your weapons?
Back in the room. Simon tossed Red's clothes to the bellhop.
Get dressed, Scott. You too, Kimmy. Joshua, bring me the rope.
The young one, Joshua, took a length of rope out of a bag lying on the bed that appeared to be full of various weapons and equipment. The other two began undressing themselves. Simon took the rope from Joshua and handed his gun to the child.
Cover them.
Let's make them take off the rest.
Josh, that's not what we're here for.
Scott had almost completely dressed himself in Red's clothes while Kimmy was dressed in Allison's. Is this your plan? Dress up as us? No offense, but that's a really stupid idea. You don't look anything like me.
Keep quiet.
Simon finished tying Red's hands together behind his back. He then strung the rope down between Red's legs, around his neck, through a hook on the ceiling, around Allison's neck, and between Allison's legs, where he tied her hands together behind her, keeping the rope very taut the whole time. Is this supposed to stop us? Red asked, his voice only slightly choked by the rope. I mean, seriously, you guys aren't very serious about defeating us, are you? I know at least 20 ways to get out of this without hurting either one of us. And look at these two. How could anyone be fooled by this? I really think, you should just let us go and we'll forget the whole thing.
Shut up!
Can't we just kill them? They are heretics.
We might need them later. In case our first plan fails, we can trade them for the Messiah.
Simon walked over to the bag on the bed and pulled out a couple of blank masks and a handgun with a silencer. He tossed the two masks over to Scott and Kimmy. Oh yeah, those'll help, said Red, standing on his tiptoes to be able to speak more easily. In case you noticed, it's Christmas time, not Halloween. What the hell just happened? As Kimmy and Scott slipped the masks over their faces, something strange occurred. Scott's head became very indistinct. Red found that he couldn't focus on it at all. Kimmy, on the other hand, now looked exactly like Allison.
What's going on, Red? He looks just like you.
She looks like you to me.
What you staring at, big boy?
Said Kimmy, in a voice that also sounded just like Allison's.
Bet you wouldn't turn me away now, would you? How are you doing this?
A miracle,
Scott said. His voice, too, had become indistinct to Red. He knew what had been said and by who, but he couldn't really hear what it sounded like. Simon handed the gun and the silencer to Joshua and started putting on a dark trench coat.
If they try anything funny, Joshua, shoot her in the legs. We'll be back as soon as we got Father Patrick.
No problem.
Joshua was getting comfortable on the bed.
I'm serious, Josh. Keep your eyes on them.
All right. Yes, sir.
Simon tucked his own gun into his coat as he, the foe Allison, and the blur-faced Scott in Saint's clothes walked out into the hall. As soon as they'd gone, Joshua jumped back onto the bed and lay back, relaxing.
Listen up, you two. I don't want any trouble. I don't particularly want to kill you if Simon says not to. So just relax and let me watch some cartoons.
He grabbed the remote control chained to the night table.
And never let us watch this back at church.
He flipped on the TV and changed the channel until he found the Justice League cartoon, which caught his interest.
Red, what's happening?
I'm not entirely sure. When he put down that mask, I couldn't look at his face or make out his voice.
I saw him as you. It was her that became all blurry to me.
It must not work on the person they're imitating. But still, how does it work at all?
Maybe it's like closure?
Closure?
It's a sight thing. It's what makes it so if you only see part of a letter, you can still tell what it is based on context and everything.
I think I get it. You mean, since they're wearing our clothes and such, When anyone sees them missing their face and voice, their minds will fill in the blanks because they assume it's us subconsciously?
I guess. Don't look at me. I think it sounds ridiculously impossible.
It's better than anything I got. But since Argento is expecting to see us here, he'll definitely be fooled. He'll never see through it.
We better get out of here fast.
My thoughts exactly.
So, how?
My thoughts exactly.
What happened to your 20 different ways?
I was just talking trash, you know.
Thank you, macho man. Maybe we could, I don't know, try to jump and get the rope off the hook?
That would be dangerous.
It was a commercial break on the television.
First of all, the rope might not come loose. And if it didn't, what happens if you land off balance? One of you falls over and you both choke. Secondly, even if you do make it, I still have a gun. And I shoot you both.
He's right. Allison blinked a few times.
What do you suggest then, Joshua?
Allison, you remember the whole good guy, bad guy thing we've got going on here?
Oh, come on, Red. Joshua was being very helpful. I don't want to be killed here. Good-looking boy like him, I'm sure we can come to some sort of deal.
Allison!
Keep out of this. This is between me and the lady.
I just want to get out of this alive. I don't care if you get back to your messiah. I promise we'll keep out of your way.
What about him?
Red, if he wants to get out of this, he'll do exactly what I tell him. If I say jump, he jumps. If I say now, he kicks. I've got him well in hand. Now let's make that deal, okay?
What kind of deal are we talking about here?
What type of deal would interest you, Joshua?
Joshua smiled and turned off the TV.
You're very pretty.
Oh, really? Have you ever been with a woman before?
Only Kimmy. Father Patrick doesn't like to do stuff with girls, but he likes it when we do.
Kimmy is a girl. I said woman.
Joshua stood up and walked a bit closer.
Here's the deal. You let me do anything I want with you. He'll have to stay tied up until we're done. Then I'll let you both go. You'll get out of here, and we can make it look like you got the drop on me.
Sounds like fun to me.
Joshua stepped closer. He moved the silenced gun to his left hand and wiped his right on his shirt. He was leering like an old man as he put his hand on her side.
I want you now. Now!
Red kicked at Joshua's left hand. The gun flew up and smacked the boy in the face, the shock of it knocking him over. Red's balance, however, faltered as he brought his leg back down, and he too began to stumble, tightening the rope around Allison's neck. At that second, the gun clattered to the floor, discharging a single bullet up towards the ceiling, directly through the rope, binding Red and Allison together, sending both of them to the floor as well. The three of them, Red, Allison, and Joshua, sat there on the floor for a moment, looking around, taking in the pure chance of the situation. Suddenly, they all looked to where the gun had fallen. Just before Joshua's hand grasped it, Allison threw her body on top of it, trapping his hand beneath her breast. Red, lying on his back, kicked Joshua in the face three or four times until he seemed to be less than conscious. He and Allison lay there breathing heavily for a beat. We are so lucky that worked. Thank God I had only good intentions. Please, tell me you weren't really going to go through with that deal.
Red! I believed you weren't a pedophile. Don't I deserve the same respect? Besides, I knew that would work.
What? You mean he would fall for it? Sure, he'd been eyeing you since we got in here. Red was attempting to get to his feet. Still, it was very clever of you, dropping those hints and such. We'll make a secret agent out of you yet. Now, we just need to get untied so we can go warn Argento. I have an idea. He lay down on the bed, his head hanging off the edge.
What are you doing?
1 second, Red said. He realized that he must look completely ridiculous. His head turned as far to the right as possible, making odd faces as he moved his head up and down and stuck out his tongue.
Are you okay?
Uh-huh, he said, his tongue finally catching the hilt of his sword just right, causing it to become visible, sliding out of its sheath onto the floor. Yes, Red said, getting up and crouching to grab the sword in his hands, still tied behind his back. Now turn around and stand still, and I'll cut you free.
You said that can't hurt me, right?
Won't harm a living thing.
Okay, I just figured one enormous gash per week is my limit.
Red looked over his shoulder and tried to hold the sword steady as he backed towards her wrist. In a second, the rope fell to the floor. Whoops.
What? Am I okay? What?
No, I overshot a bit, Red said, gesturing to her underwear where a decent-sized slit had been cut.
What? Oh, I thought there was a draft. Trying to get me even more undressed, eh, Goggles?
She punched him in the arm and then untied his hands. Red grabbed Scott's bellhop uniform and began dressing. Okay, here's the plan. I'll go over to my room, see if they're still there, do what I can to stop them. You stay here, get dressed, tie the boy up. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Hey, you forgot something,
Allison said, buttoning up Kimmy's jeans. What? She tossed him the bellhop cap. He chuckled and put it on. I'll be back.
Hurry.
Red quickly jogged back up the length of the hallway to his and Argento's room. He didn't have his key anymore. It was in his pants. He was about to go for his sword when someone started walking down the hall. He knocked on his door and listened closely for a response.
It says, do not disturb,
said the portly man walking by. Red glared at the back of his head as he passed. Once the man rounded the corner, Red pulled his sword and stuck it through the lock. He opened the door and let himself in. No one was there. Not Father Patrick, not Kimmy and Scott, not even Argento. There were, however, what you could call signs of a struggle, namely the fact that almost all the furniture was upturned, glass broken, and duct tape that had adorned the prisoner was strewn on the floor. Red could find no clear giveaway as to what had happened, but he guessed they had overpowered Argento and... what? Kidnapped him? Killed him and disposed of the body? And why didn't they come back for Joshua? Red changed back into another copy of his red suit, but Scott had taken the only pair of his red shoes that he'd brought along, meaning he'd have to stick with the brown bellhop shoes that didn't match his outfit at all. He grabbed a third copy of the key, sitting on the nightstand, and headed back over to Allison's room. He knocked on her door, and in a moment she opened the door, grinning. What's so funny?
Oh, nothing.
Hanging from the hook in the ceiling, his feet and hands tied together, was Joshua, dangling unconscious a foot or two from the floor. Nicely done, Red said, gently spinning the boy. They're gone. All of them. Argento, too.
They're in the van. They went to, a christening?
What are you talking about?
I just saw it. The van driving, someone talking about a christening or something.
Wait, a rechristening facility?
Maybe, yeah. How should I know? I don't even know if it's true. It's just a flash, an idea or something. This has never happened to me before. Well, not before today.
Are you saying there's been other times?
Yes, two. My dream last night was of being grabbed in a hotel room and tied up, like I was today. Then after we were left with Joshua, when I said I knew it was work, I meant the whole thing. The gun, the rope, I saw it all in my head.
You had visions that came true. This actually sort of makes sense.
What does?
The other Allison. She talked about knowing about September 11th before it happened. You didn't, by any chance, sense...
No way. I found out when everyone else did, when the first plane hit.
But that explains why the other you was so upset about it. She must have had a vision of it beforehand. But if you never had visions before, what happened? Did you somehow inherit them from her? This is really strange.
Tell me about it.
The rechristening facility. Why would they take Argento there? Damn it, I don't even know where the thing is.
No problem. I think that can help.
She pointed to an electronic device on the bed near Simon's bag.
I figure it's what they were using to track the van.
Red picked it up and looked at it. You're right. This should take us right to them.
Then let's go. Who knows what they're up to?
Do you really think you should come with me? It might not be safe.
As opposed to waiting here for Simon and his Uzi to come back? Yeah, I think it'll be okay.
All right. Speaking of which, let's gather up their weapons and take them. No point in leaving them for any of these psychos. He picked up the silenced gun where Joshua had been left. He looked at it for a moment. He unscrewed the silencer and took out his own gun. Whether it was a coincidence or another of the gun's miraculous properties, the silencer fit. Cool, Red said to himself, slipping the gun back into his holster.
Since they took your ride, I'll drive.
Red zipped up Simon's bag and took it with him as they left the room.
By the way, nice shoes.
Shut up.